Let's see what we got going on. Yeah, there we go. All right, I want to say a big welcome to those of you who watch us faithfully on Facebook because we have an announcement to make this morning, and it also involves all of us here. That if you've been watching, maybe some of you have already seen on Facebook that we now have a website. SummitvilleChurch.org is our website now, and you can go there and find out more information about us. You can look at our beliefs, our team, people that help, and all of that. There's lots of good information there. It's still a work in progress, so please just kind of pardon our dust as we continue to build and grow that website. And we also, we're going to be on YouTube starting next week. If you go to YouTube.com, our handle is at Summitville First Baptist Church. It's called a handle. Use the at signal or the at symbol, First Summitville First Baptist Church. And Lord willing, creek don't rise, and it all goes according to plan. Starting next Sunday, we're going to be streaming our entire service. There's been quite a few people that have been asking to be able to stream everything, so the music and all of that. So beginning next Sunday, like I said, Lord willing, we're going to stream the entire service, which will start at 11 a.m. Central Time. And also, Lord willing, next week it's going to be going through the website or it's going to be going through YouTube. So you've been used to watching it on Facebook. You're going to have to get used to doing it a little different, but we're going to have posted at the top of our Facebook page a post. It'll stay pinned there, and it'll have a link both to our website. It'll have a link also to our YouTube page, and all you got to do is click on that link, and it should take you exactly where you need to go to watch the full live stream. And, of course, once the service is over, it will be archived. It will be on our website, and it will be on YouTube for you to go back and watch it. Just in case you can't watch it live, you can now, starting next week, watch the whole service from our website and from YouTube. Don't forget, SummitvilleChurch.org or at Summitville First Baptist Church on YouTube. So that's it. That's the big announcement. And one other is that now you are able to give to our church online through our website. You are also able to give to our church through an app on your phone. A lot of you younger people, you understand phones and apps. There is an app called Tithely, T-I-T-H-E-L-Y. If you download that, you'll be able to give to our church online through the phone, and you can go to our website and give through it there. And for those of you that watch on Facebook faithfully, you know that starting a website and all this stuff, there's cost involved. And we would appreciate if God has laid on your heart to go ahead and give. I know some of you cannot make it to church, but this is a way for you to give and help in the work and the spread of the kingdom of God. So give in the app or give online at our website, and hopefully we'll see you next Sunday over on YouTube and over on the website. So that's the big announcement that I had for us today. And let's have just a brief word of prayer before we go to our message. God in heaven, I'm thankful for all that you're doing in our church. Lord, that it's an exciting time to launch a website and to launch YouTube. It's also a bit of a scary time, to be honest, because it's something new and it's something different, and that means there's more involved. And Lord, we all want to do this to the best of our ability for the honor and the glory of God. We want to do this so that we can reach our community for Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this week, as we work through some of the changes of the technical issues, that it'll go smoothly. I pray that we'll be up and running and ready to go next Sunday. I pray that this will increase our online presence. I also pray, Lord, that it will begin to bring more people into our church. I am so thankful for the growth that you've given us. Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be with us this morning. We have many who are out at a women's conference. That is such a glorious and wonderful thing. We pray for them. I pray that this conference refreshes them and brings them back ready to serve you. Lord, I pray for those that we heard from this morning that cannot make it today from sickness and other reasons, but they're promising to watch online. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them at this time today. And then, Father, as we go through this sermon, Holy Spirit, it is my heart's desire that you speak. Dear God in heaven, you know that I have nothing worthwhile to say. It is only through your words that lives can be changed and transformed. So, God, speak through me. Give me clarity of thought. Give me clarity of speech. Touch our hearts. And I pray for each one here and each one watching online, that they will open their hearts first to listen to what you have to say to them. And then I pray that they will take that step of obedience in response to what you're saying. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. If you'll remember last week, we were talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And we talked about how that Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and how he multiplied that. And he fed multitudes of people with just a little bit. And we talked about how that it doesn't matter how much you have to give or how little you have to give. What matters is that you give. And that Jesus can take whatever little you have and he can multiply it and he can make it into something amazing, something beyond your imagination. And we also looked last week as we talked about the consumers, those sitting out in the crowd there who were sitting and waiting to be fed, who were there only to see Jesus because of the miracles that he was performing. And we talked about the consumers who had that mindset of what's in it for me, the what's in it for me crowd. And we talked then about the doers, those closest to Jesus who were following in his footsteps and who were doing the work and delivering the food and doing all of these things. And they had the mindset and the attitude of how can I help? And we contrasted the consumers and the doers last week. We talked a lot about that in John 6. And then we ended briefly on this passage of Scripture in James chapter 1 where he talks about if we go and look in a mirror and we see that we need to shave, but we don't shave, looking in the mirror really didn't do us a whole lot of good because we walked out, we go into the world, and we still need to shave. And he says, for those who look into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Bible, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That it is in the doing is where we receive the blessings, not the hearing. Not the consuming. It is the doer that will be blessed. But let's be honest for a minute. Sometimes in the midst of the doing, we don't feel blessed. Sometimes in the midst of the serving, and in the midst of the working in the ministry, and in the midst of doing the next right thing, or in the midst of trying to restore that relationship because God laid it on your heart to restore that relationship, it's not going the way you thought it was going to go. And in the middle of the doing, sometimes we don't feel blessed. Because sometimes in the midst of the doing, we get tired. And we've worked for a long time, and it doesn't feel like we're getting anything accomplished. Or we feel unappreciated. Nobody said thank you lately for the work that I've done. Or we feel like that, well, nobody really cares that much. Or this is taking longer than I thought. Or this is costing me more than what I thought it would cost. Or whatever difficulty we go through in the midst of the doing, sometimes we don't feel like there's a blessing there. And we're, God, I thought that if I did, you would bless me. But the mature believer understands a couple things. And number one is that the blessings don't always come in the midst of the doing. The blessings come later. You know the phrase, right? Good things come to those that wait. Excellent, right? That sometimes we have to wait. And then it's down the road where we might see the blessing. That in the middle of it, you might simply be planting the seeds that are going to take time to grow. And then it's in the growth that comes later on that where you find the blessing. And the mature believer also understands and knows this, that sometimes the blessing doesn't even come in this life. That you can toil and toil and toil and not see the blessing in this life, but you'll be blessed in eternity. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep the mindset and the heart set that I'll trade a temporary blessing for an eternal blessing every day of the week. Right? And so that as we grow and as we mature in Christ and as we're working and we're going through it and we're not feeling blessed, I would encourage you to keep stepping forward and keep moving because you can follow Jesus and things not go the way you thought they would. And the thing about the blessings is sometimes we start the doing and we're convinced and we know that this is the right thing to do. And we know that God has led us to do this. Or it was clear that when I was reading my scriptures that God placed this on my heart. And then we step out and we start the doing and it's not working the way that we thought. And we find ourselves in the midst of a problem or in the midst of a storm and we go, Jesus, what happened? And Jesus is thinking, I've got you exactly where I want you. That just because you're hit with a storm and just because things aren't going the way you planned doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing. And that's the story that we're going to look at today as we continue through John chapter 6. But we're going to leave John 6 and we're going to go through Matthew and Mark for a little bit. There'll be a few verses on the screen, but we're not going to look through the whole story. I want to tell you about it today. But in John chapter 6, he tells us that when evening came, they had been working, they had been serving, they had been ministering, they had seen Jesus feed the 5,000, that night his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And he continues to tell us this famous story of how they get in the boat and they're headed across the Sea of Tiberias and the storm hits and they're in the midst of the storm and Jesus comes to them walking on the water at about 3 o'clock in the morning and Peter gets out of the boat and he walks and then he falls and we're familiar with all of that story. But John only gives us the briefest of accounts of this. Matthew and Mark give us a much more detailed account of this, and Matthew and Mark's accounts, they differ a little bit in their details, but that's not a big deal. I want to give you just a little bit of an apologetic, or a little bit of a side here, because when you read through the Gospels, what you are reading are four different biographies on the life of Jesus. And you're reading four different biographies from four different perspectives with four different purposes. And so sometimes you can read a story in Matthew and read a story in John, and it doesn't exactly line up and it doesn't exactly mesh. And some people out in this world, they're going to talk to you and say, well, see, the Bible contradicts itself. And you can't trust the Bible because it contradicts itself. Well, I'm here to tell you, people that say that, don't be frightened by that. Don't be embarrassed by that. Because I'm here to tell you that people that say that, they're not nearly as smart as they think they are. Because if you get below the surface and you truly look and you truly study, you see they don't conflict. They complement each other because they're telling four different points of view. I can illustrate it like this. If you were to go out today and you were to leave this service and you were to tell a friend that wasn't here what happened during the service, you and your spouse would tell the same story, but you wouldn't tell the exact same story. You might say something about a piece of the music that really spoke to you, and they would leave it out completely. Or they may talk about how great the preacher was, and you might think, well, he was awful today, so you wouldn't talk about that at all. And you would tell the same story about the same service, but the emphasis would be different. And that's what happens with the Gospels. And I want to illustrate it for you. John says that they were headed towards where? Capernaum. Well, when you read Mark, who gets his information from Peter, by the way, Mark says that they were headed towards Bethsaida. And then Matthew says, well, they're just headed across to the other side. Matthew's like, I don't really care where we're going. I got more important things to tell you, right? Well, it's not a conflict. If you open up a map, and I encourage you to open up maps when you read your Bibles from time to time, because they'll explain so much in just a quick picture. You know that Capernaum, which was the home base of Jesus and his disciples at this point in ministry, that was set inland. And so John's saying our ultimate destination is we're going home to get some rest. We are headed towards Capernaum, which is inland. Bethsaida, however you pronounce it, is on the beach. It's a port of call. And so Mark is saying, well, we're headed towards this port of call, which is also true. And so you can see when you pull up a map where they were headed here and then they were going here. And Matthew's like, it doesn't really matter. That's not the point I'm trying to talk about. So it doesn't conflict. It actually complements. So you can follow their intended destination. Now, all four of the Gospels present to us Jesus feeding the 5,000, but only Matthew and Mark and John give us the story about Jesus walking on the water. And they tell us this, that the crowd, if you'll remember last week, they came and they wanted to make Jesus king. And Jesus was not going to allow them to make him king, even though he is king. Because he knew their motives for one thing, but the big thing was it wasn't God's time. And here's a little aside for us also, that there's no way that you can force God to do something that you want him to do in your time. God's going to do what God's going to do. God's hand cannot be forced, and God's will cannot be stopped. And even though they were trying to force God's will at this moment, Jesus is like, nope, it's not going to happen. So he sends the crowd away. He tells his disciples, get in the boat and head across the sea. So they're following the instructions of Jesus. And then it tells us that Jesus goes to the mountainside and he's going up there to be alone to pray. And we see throughout the Gospels where they say, and Jesus went by himself to pray. That 100% part of Jesus that was man needed to go be alone so he could do and commune with the 100% part that was God. And that's just a reminder to me that if Jesus needed to be alone and pray, how much more do I need to be alone and pray and commune with my Heavenly Father. That prayer was crucial in the life of Jesus on this earth. It is crucial in our lives. So Jesus is up on the mountain praying. The disciples, they get in the boat and they're headed across, and it's already dark, but it's only between a mile and 2 miles across, so it's not going to take that long, or so they think. And they get out into the ocean or the sea, and all of a sudden a storm comes rolling down. The mountains cover around this area. The mountains are all around this sea. And the mountains come, the storms come across that mountain. They come down across that sea, and they can cause hurricane force winds to arise in just a matter of minutes. And so they're rowing across, and a storm hits. And it had to have been a big storm because they're afraid for their lives. They're used to being on the water. Many of them were fishermen, professional fishermen, before they met Jesus. And so now here it is. They've been rowing. The storm's hitting. The storm's beating them up. They're cold. They're wet. They're tired. They're exhausted. If you'll remember, they had 12 baskets of food. I bet they took that with them on the boat. I don't know for sure, but I bet they did. Now their baskets of food are soaking wet, and nobody wants to eat soggy, wet bread, do they? So they're frustrated. They're probably hungry. And they're thinking, wait a minute. Why are we in the middle of this storm? And they look up. And the way that Matthew and Mark tell it, it's almost as if Jesus can see them from the mountain where he's standing and praying. And Jesus comes down, and they look up, and they see Jesus walking on the water. And they go, it's a ghost. They're so scared, they're so frightened, that they don't even realize it's Jesus when they see him. But Jesus speaks to them and says, don't worry about it. Be happy. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. And when it dawns on them who it is, Peter's like, oh man, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out. And Jesus says, come on. And Peter takes this amazing step of faith that I don't think I would have the faith to take. And he steps out of that boat and he steps out on the water. And it's a storm. And the waves are crashing. And the wind's blowing. And he steps out and he's walking on the water. Can you imagine? Now, if I were going to take a step of faith to walk on water, I think I would probably do it in my swimming pool at home. Because that way, if I sank, I wouldn't have too far to fall. I'm just telling you, I don't have that kind of faith. Peter steps out on the ocean in the middle of a storm. But the problem is, when he gets out there, he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And he starts to look around at the circumstances all around him. And he realizes, I'm in the middle of a storm. And all of a sudden, he begins to doubt. And I believe he took a great big step of faith when he stepped off that boat. But when he began to doubt, his faith started to get smaller and smaller. And when he began to doubt, he sank. But we got to give him credit, because when he sank, what did he do? He cried out to Jesus. And when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus didn't act the way Mark would have acted. Thank God. Because Mark would have said, what'd I tell you? I'm sorry. I gave you a chance. You know, Mark would have been sarcastic. Mark would have been smart aleck or something. Mark would have been laughing at him. But Jesus is not that way. Jesus has got compassion. Jesus was sympathetic. He reaches down. He picks Peter up out of the water in the midst of that storm, gets him on the boat. Matthew tells us that they wind up on the other side. That when he gets on that boat, the winds cease and the winds calm down. And the disciples, this is where Matthew and Mark tell us two different things. And I think it's two different things that go hand in hand. And they are both amazed, but they also learn something about Jesus that they would not have learned had they not walked through that storm. We're going to look at just a few of those verses. Hopefully. Thomas? Where's my screen? Can you bring me the next slide, please? Uh-oh. There we go. Matthew tells us that while he's walking out on the water, and the people look, or the disciples look, and they see what they think is a ghost. Jesus says to them, what? Be of good, but don't be afraid. And they got to be thinking, wait a minute. The storm's raging. I'm soaking wet. I'm exhausted. I've been working all day long. It's the middle of the night. I just want to be at home and in bed. I'm tired. and you're saying, be happy? And if you heard that song from years and years ago, here's the little song I wrote. You can sing it note by note. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Right? And I won't do the do-do-do-do part. But I was hoping to get that song stuck in everybody's head today, so you're welcome. Don't worry, be happy. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Be of good cheer in the midst of a raging storm. And that's the message Jesus has for you and I today. That we take a step of faith and we walk out and we do the next right thing and we do the thing that God wants us to do. And life gets difficult because we stepped out and did what was right. And when you do what is right, quite often it gets hard. And Jesus says, don't lose your faith just because life got hard. And don't get down in the dumps and become cranky Gus because life got hard. Jesus says, be of good cheer, don't be afraid. We are supposed to live differently. We're supposed to understand that this storm is not out of the control of Jesus Christ. That this storm is meant here for a reason. And that God is trying to teach us something. Or maybe God is trying to move us someplace different. So don't worry. Be of good cheer. Mark tells us he went into the boat to them and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. They were thinking this inside. They weren't saying this out loud. They weren't talking to each other about what was going on inside of them. But they were amazed and they marveled because they didn't understand about the loaves. Because their heart was hardened. And I've thought a lot about that. This verse this week. It's a difficult verse to understand. How long had it been since they saw Jesus multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? 12 hours? Less than 24 for sure, right? I mean, not that long ago. But they'd already kind of forgotten the lessons of the loaves and the fishes. At this point in the ministry, they'd been with Jesus about a year. John tells us that they saw him turn water into wine. John tells us, obviously, about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that he multiplied. John tells us about the little boy that he healed who was 15 miles away, and all Jesus had to do was say a word. John tells us about Jesus healing a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. John tells us about Jesus driving the money changers out with authority. And John tells us that there was a lot more that he did that I haven't told you about. So for a year, they had been watching Jesus perform miracle after miracle, sign after sign, and yet just a few hours after watching him do something amazing, their hearts were hardened because they didn't understand the lessons of the past. That when Jesus stopped the winds and he calmed the seas, it was beyond their comprehension because their faith hadn't fully developed yet. Jesus, they just saw, had full control of the weather. Now, you and I and mankind today with all of our fancy new technology and all this stuff going on, we still can't control the weather. And they can't control the climate either, I'm here to tell you. You can't control the climate. We can't control the weather. But all Jesus had to do was go stop. And the weather obeyed him. And they were just so amazed that they couldn't believe it. But Mark tells us through Peter that they really shouldn't have been all that amazed, should they? After watching Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle for a year, they shouldn't have been amazed at that. But they were. But once they recovered, and once they began to absorb all that had taken place, Matthew tells us that this happens. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hands and caught Peter, and said to him, O you of little faith. O you that had big faith about 4 steps ago, now you got little bitty faith. Why did you doubt? And Jesus, like, why in the world are you doubting? Why did you go from standing on the water to sinking? Why did you doubt? But he tells us this, when he got into the boat and the wind ceases, then those who were in the boat came and did what? Worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, this is the only verse in the entire book of Matthew where the disciples say, truly, you are the Son of God. that in my research, and I'm pretty confident in this, I could be wrong, but I don't think so, this is the first time that we're recorded in their journey with Jesus, they worshiped and said, you're the Son of God. For the first time, they began to see something about Jesus that they had never seen before. They were still learning about Jesus. And the only reason they learned this, the only reason they knew that he could control the weather was because they were standing in the midst of a storm. And Jesus has things to teach you, and Jesus has things to teach me, and we have things to learn that we will never learn if we never walk through a storm with Jesus. So the next time you take a step of faith and you do the next right thing and you know do that thing that you know God wants you to do, the next time you're working in that ministry or next time you're trying to restore that relationship or the next time you're giving of your money and it doesn't go the way it's planned, don't instantly go to your little faith and start to doubt. Keep walking with that big faith knowing that Jesus is still in control. And that Jesus is trying to teach me something. And I got something to learn. And here is a growth opportunity for me so that my faith begins to grow so big that there is no room for fear in my life. And that's where Jesus wants us. He wants us to come to a place that no matter what happens in your life, you will not be afraid. Yet so often in our lives, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else, something hits us that's unexpected. Something hits us that's out of control. Things are not going the way we think they are, and we become afraid. And we choose to give in to the fear. And when we choose to give in to the fear, we start to see things that aren't really there. Just like the disciples saw a ghost that wasn't even there. And we allow our vision of fear to see the falsehoods of life. But when we walk in faith and we grow and we come to a place in our spirits where our faith is so that we trust Jesus even if we're sinking in the ocean, then we begin to see Jesus for who he really is. And here's the thing, there is nothing that can happen to you in this life that Jesus can't handle. There's absolutely nothing that you can go through in this life that Jesus is going to go, I think I need some help. No, Jesus has got control over all of it. So the next time you step out in faith and you hit that storm, don't worry. Be happy. And then the last thing I want to point out. Matthew tells us that when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Wait a minute. Where were they headed? You may remember. John said they were headed to Capernaum. Inland. Mark said that they were headed to Bethsaida. Capernaum was further south and west. No, south and east, excuse me. I got to pull up the map in my head. They landed in a spot that they weren't headed for. They were headed this direction, but the storm pushed them off course and they wound up over here. And Matthew goes on to tell us that when they land in Gennesaret, there was a lot of men there that recognized Jesus. And they went out and they started getting their friends who were sick. And they started bringing their sick friends to Jesus. And Jesus began to heal them. And Jesus began to teach and he began to minister to the people there. Jesus and his disciples got to minister to people that they wouldn't have gotten to minister to had they not gone through the storm. The storm had blown them, quote unquote, off course. But the storm had them land exactly where they needed to be. And when you and I go through a storm, we take that step of faith. And when we walk out there and we take that step of faith for God, and then God brings a storm into our life, that storm could be just adjusting you just a little bit. So that you may be thinking you're headed over here, but God says, I want you over here. And the way I'm going to get you over here is to bring a little bit of wind from this side. And if we'll trust Jesus and if we'll keep walking and if we'll keep moving and if we will keep showing our faith and demonstrating our faith in God and we'll keep reading our Bible and we'll keep praying and we'll keep serving and keep giving and keep doing and keep the mindset of the disciples of how can I help and don't turn into the what's in it for me crowd. If we keep on keeping on, we're going to wind up in a place where you might be able to help somebody you never would have been able to be able to help. You're going to wind up in a place maybe where you need to be so that there's somebody on that shore that can say, hey, let me help you. Amen. that the storms of life may put you in a place where you weren't expecting it, but they'll put you in a place where you were needed. So don't be afraid the next time you face the storms. And don't be afraid when you're tired and you're exhausted. And I think I lost my signal. Can you turn this mic on? Yeah, there we go. Don't give in to the fear. Keep walking in faith. And as we close, this week I was listening to a podcast, and it was a musician that I like, a Christian musician who's a good writer also, and he was interviewing an author, and they were talking about current events in light of a biblical worldview, and this author made a statement that I thought was extremely profound, and I thought, I never thought about this before. And I've thought about it a lot this week. He said, this life is the only chance you will have to suffer for Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, there is no more suffering. There is no more pain. There are no broken relationships in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day. But Jesus told us that if you suffer for His namesake, that you are blessed. That if you are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, that you will be blessed. And so the only chance you got to receive certain blessings, it will be in this life. And I thought about the suffering, because I don't know about you, but when I think about the word suffering, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jesus Christ on the cross. And I think of His suffering. And then I begin to think of Paul as he traveled on his journeys and how that he was beaten 39 times on at least three occasions, how that he was shipwrecked, how that he was snake bit, how that Paul, wherever he went, he was suffering because he'd get thrown into jail. But it didn't matter where Paul wound up. Whenever he landed, you know what he would do? Share the gospel. This is where God's got me. I'm going to share the gospel. And I thought about the apostles who all died a martyr's death. And I've thought about martyrs down throughout church history who have died for proclaiming the name of Jesus and how they all have suffered. But I thought we also suffer in other ways. And I don't equate my suffering with anything close to what they suffered. But you know what? Sometimes you'll suffer for the name of Jesus because you want to restore a relationship that Jesus says you need to make it right. And so you do the next right thing and you do your best to make that relationship right, and that other person does not respond the way they're supposed to respond and they treat you poorly because of it. And you wind up suffering for doing the right thing. Or maybe you decide to help somebody financially because God laid it on your heart, and then they just didn't handle the money properly. That's a frustrating thing. Or maybe in the midst of your ministry, you get criticized because some people just don't like the way you're doing it. And you begin to suffer a little bit for Jesus. Now, I get it. I'm not talking about the kind of suffering that others have suffered. But when we step out and when we do the right thing and when we step out and follow in faith, sometimes the storms are going to hit and sometimes you and I are going to be suffering a little bit. Sometimes we're going to be tired. We're going to be discouraged. Sometimes it's not going to go the way we want. But you are blessed when you suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And God has blessings for you on the other side of the storm, and God has blessings for us on the other side of eternity. And the only way to get them is to sail out into the sea with Jesus. Amen. I want to close in prayer. And I hadn't totally decided, and I talked to Thomas a minute about how I wanted to close. And I think I want to close with this song that I want to sing for you. And you can pray, you can sing with me, whatever you want. It's a song that was written by a singer-songwriter by the name of Laura Story. If you've not heard her songs, you've heard, if you listen to Christian radio, you've heard something she's written. She sings, but a lot of people sing her songs. Quite a few years ago, after she'd become, you know, famous in the Christian world, her husband came down with brain cancer. And how devastating, she talked about how devastating that time in her life was. But in the midst of her husband's brain cancer, she wrote a song called Blessings. And it's a beautiful song. And I thought about that song this week as I thought about sometimes we don't feel blessed. because the storm's hit. We don't feel blessed because life isn't going our way. And this song spoke to my heart. It's spoken to my heart many times over the years. And I thought I would do my best to play it and sing it. I didn't practice it a ton, but we'll get through it. But you pray, and if you need to come forward and pray, you come forward and pray. It doesn't matter if nobody else comes. If God has spoken to your heart, as we're studying, as we're learning and experiencing God, when God speaks, we're supposed to adjust our lives and obey at that moment. So you pray, and you find out, God, what is the next thing you want me to do? What is my next step of faith? Or maybe some of you here are right in the middle of one of those storms of life, and you're struggling with it, and you don't know what to do. Maybe you simply need to pray for strength to have great faith, so that you don't give in to the fear.